The Lord, if you're able to stand. Title tonight, Are We Pleasing the Lord? You can find 2 Peter, if you will, as well, if you're able. 1 Corinthians 10, and then we'll be in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Brother Jackson, right there from your seat, where you're seated, just go ahead and pray for me and pray for the message tonight. All right, you in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Can we read verse 12 out loud together? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You may be seated. And that's for every one of us, right? So if you think you're going to stand, you better take heed. If we think we can make it on our own, we'd better take heed. What's the meaning of that? You better regard with care. It's for every soul in here. Regard with care. Give attention to. We need more prudence, which is caution. And if you take heed, then you're going to have caution. There used to be a show on TV. This kind of dates me. Some of you whippersnappers probably don't know it. It's called Lost in Space. June Lockhart, you know. Danger, danger, danger. Was that a robot? Well, you know what? That's what taking heed means. You have to look well. Caution, caution. They're still pulling people out of these flooded roads, aren't they? Hey, if you see where the road's got water over it, just don't get a helicopter to get you out of there. I mean, just take heed, take some caution, give attention to, we need to be careful. The Bible says we ought to give more earnest heed. There's a scripture that says that neither give heed to the wrong things. We can't make it on our own. We all need God, don't we? We need the Lord. And so it has it to do with the idea of walking circumspect, redeeming the time. Circumspect is a word that means you know, be careful where you're going. Go the right way. And be careful the crowd. For you young people here, look up in here, young people. Be careful the crowds you hang with. Your friends will make you or break you. And so evil communications corrupt good manners. You're hanging around the wrong crowd. You need to take, here it is, a serious and steady look at that. You really do. Peter got in the wrong crowd. He knew what we were talking about. He knew what he was talking about because he warmed himself. And go to Luke 22 real quick before we head on over to Peter. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22:31. The Bible says in Luke 22:31, the story of Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. This is Jesus speaking. that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter was already saved. When did he get converted as a Christian, the conversion of a Christian? I believe when that cock crew for the last time, what happened? He glanced, I believe. Well, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly, right? But he saw the eyes of Jesus. He knew Jesus was the real deal. I mean, he knew he was the Son of God. Peter said, "Who do you say that I am?" But when he failed, he saw Jesus. I believe he was converted as a Christian. And he says, verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me, and that thou knowest me. Peter couldn't believe it. What happened? He didn't take heed. 1 Corinthians, take heed lest you fall. But I'm glad God makes a way of escape, aren't you? God is faithful. Now if you'll go over to 2 Peter, and we'll get to the message. 2 Peter. You know, 2 Peter, was under 1 and 2 Peter, is in a time of judgment, a time of persecution by the Nero, Emperor Nero. They'd just soon kill you as look at you. And you know, they're killing Christians now over in Nigeria, aren't they? Persecution, persecuting Christians. People are dying by the hundreds. We still have the freedom to preach the gospel, but there's a lot of places that don't. And this is a time, you could say, these are the last words of Peter. Because he knew he was getting ready to die, church. You say, how you know? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He knew he was going to die. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He knew he was getting ready to die, and he was unworthy, and he was ready to die. I hope you're ready to die. Peter loved the Lord so much, and tradition tells us this, he was crucified upside down. He didn't feel like he was worthy to be crucified like Jesus. But he's strengthening the brethren. And so this message deals with pleasing the Lord tonight. I'd like you to look in verses 1 through 5 here as far as the text goes. First of all, just a little context. Peter, 1 Peter was written to encourage the faithful. 2 Peter more to rebuke for the unfaithful. And I tell you, you know, this is not just for you. It's for the preacher. Hey, we can all do a better job. Lord, help us. Here it is, to please the Lord. To please the Lord. You've heard that song, I shall see him face to face. Thank him for his mercy and grace. But one of those songs that like that says, I wish I'd have given him more when we meet the Lord. And I think that's the way Peter was. Peter knew his time was short. Now look in verse 1. We'll just cover a few verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that attained like precious faith. Our faith is precious. If you have Jesus as your Savior, amen. He's with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He talks about in verse 1, Simon Peter a servant. We have a lot of servants in this church. Servants, people who are not willing to get their hands dirty, people who are not willing to clean a toilet. They are willing to clean a toilet. People who are willing to go the extra mile. And you know, if I start calling names, I'll miss some, so I don't want to start doing that. But there's a lot of people in this church that do the work behind the scenes, the unsung heroes. Can I get an amen right there? So he says servants, and they're saved. They've obtained like precious faith. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. That discernment, that clear discernment, talking about knowledge. And verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The word of God tells us the answers, and I'm thankful we have the answers here in the book. He'll tell us how we can be converted as a Christian. This book right here is written to Christians, and they're under this extreme persecution. Pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Glory. What is glory? Well, it deals with your honor and your character, your reputation. Those things are important to God. Amen? And he sees it. What's virtue? Virtue deals with this. It's this statement right here. Pleasing to God. Am I pleasing to God? Not only morally good with your neighbors and your finances and your businesses and all the things that are involved in your life. You need to be a good testimony for God. Amen? Please God. And your testimony bleeds over on this church, I believe. And so we need to care about that. One thing that convicted me when I was looking into these scriptures, when looking up the definition of virtue, is this right here. Cisco, our temple. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe 6, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. What? Know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Am I pleasing God in my temple? In my heart, in my mind, in my actions. You see, sometimes I eat the wrong things. And sometimes I eat too much of the wrong thing. Some of you do that. You might eat too much sugar. You might eat too much grease. And you might be taking years off your life. Just ask the nurse down here. And we have to be careful. I'm preaching to myself, okay? But that deals with virtue. Also, he talks about godliness. Look in verse 3. According to his divine power, has given us all things pertain unto life and godliness. What is that? That's your attitude. Not just toward each other here, but how's your attitude toward God? Hey, God's your best friend. Don't get God on the wrong side. Amen. He's so patient, compassionate, and loving, and kind, and merciful, and great, and good. Greatly to be praised, to be extolled, and to be adored. God, if you're saved, oh my goodness, he's your heavenly Father. He's your Savior. He's the Holy Spirit that lives within you. How's your attitude toward him? If it's not right, then you're not pleasing him. We need that knowledge, that clear discernment. Now, God wants to help us with these temptations. Look in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter failed God. Peter lied, he cursed, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus still loved him and brought him back. There's hope for the backslider. Amen. There's hope for you. through this lust. He's trying to tell the brother, and he's strengthening the brother, just like Jesus prayed for him in Luke chapter 22, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue. First of all, faith. That's trusting Jesus as your Savior. What do you add to it? What's the next building block? Virtue. Yes. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And we need God's help in that. Ask yourself tonight, are you pleasing God? Are you pleasing the Lord tonight? Are you giving pleasure to God? I may be preaching to the choir tonight. I mean, you're here in a storm. I was driving to church down El Mirage. I said, I've watched too many of these tornado shows and stuff, and that looks like something I saw. You know, this thing could be big, Kathy. Could be really big. You know, see cars flying around, and horses and cows and everything. I said, it looks like it's coming right towards our church. But see, it didn't hinder you from getting here tonight, did it? And the cool thing about it, I don't know what it did right down the street, but we're getting ready to start, and it had blown over. The storm passed by. Amen. And so God helped you to get to church tonight. Ask yourself, are you pleasing God? What are some areas that are pleasing to God? And a lot of these are basic. You can think of some ways to please God. But I think when a person gets saved, just like Joshua got saved, it pleased God, didn't it? There's joy in heaven over one. There's rejoicing in heaven over one that repents. And so heaven was rejoicing when that man got saved. I never will forget it. Adolfo, you went down there. I said, Adolfo, this man's coming. And Adolfo was leaning down there, praying over him and kind of helping him. And you went back to your pew, Adolfo. And you said, he came to the Lord. That's what you said. That pleased God. That pleased heaven. Now, he's no longer a child of hell. Baptisms. We've been seeing some folks baptized, and that pleases the Lord. Here's another one. Putting him first. Putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It wasn't a real big check, but it was a check. I got a check in the mail. It was pretty big, Brother David. I think it was $1,400. That's a pretty big check, isn't it? Come in the mail yesterday. And I said, honey, thank you. Because she tithes on everything first. First, puts God first. And she always rounds up. So $200 went in tonight. I'm not bragging on me. I'm thanking God. I'm giving him the glory. But I said, honey, we just keep honoring you, putting you for the Lord first and all that we do. It doesn't matter if it's a little check, does it? If it's a $100 check, God deserves first place. And I'm telling you, when you do that, it pleases the Lord. What about our witnessing? We could all improve, couldn't we? In telling others. It gives pleasure to the Lord. He says, he that winneth souls is wise. Fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. When you do something to help bring somebody to the Lord, it's a blessing to the Lord. That's what he said his purpose was in John chapter 17, that high priestly prayer. Jesus said that they might be where I am. I enjoyed talking to Joshua's wife and mother. And it was just a great blessing. His mother bear hugged me. And she said, I didn't save him. Amen. I had part of it. You preached the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. But she said, we've been praying for him a long time and planting seeds. I said, yeah, you got fruit. That's your fruit. His wife was so thankful. I looked at her and eyeball and I said, ma'am, you've got a brand new husband. She was weeping, and she said, you're right, Pastor. You're right. But when you help somebody come to the Lord, that's why When the invitation is given, always pull and pray. It doesn't matter if it's the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, the missionary. Always pray, Lord, bring them and save them, help them. But you know, the invitation, David, starts well before the end of the service. The invitation starts when those folks come in the back door back there. Give them a smile and say, thank you for choosing this church. Thank you. Can I help you with anything? Don't ask them what, if they have a job for you, or don't ask them how much money they make. Don't be stupid, okay? Don't be that way. You say, we're grateful. Get out of the way so somebody else can shake their hand. But this is a friendly church. It's a warm church. It's always been, but we can always do better. But love on people. Smile at them. Say, thank you. We're praying for you today. If you need anything, let us know. Just be brief, because somebody else might be standing in line. And I think when a visitor family or person, single person comes in the door, there needs to be a lot of people going up to them. Sometimes people have a habit, they're set in their ways, and they go up to the ones they feel comfortable with and familiar with and they're friends with, and that's great, okay? But be careful that you get out of your comfort zone a little bit. There's a lady, trying to think of her name, Uliana, you brought from the base. Abby, she's right over here. And Aaron was real friendly to her. But I had called her. She came one other time, single lady. And when I called her the following week, she was in Utah. Was she visiting family? And so I went up to her and I said, it's good to have you back. I appreciate it. She said, no, Pastor, I appreciate you calling, checking on me in Utah. Well, it's a blessing. But, you know, she's coming. She's only been a couple times, single lady visiting our church. I want everybody to go up, make her feel welcome, and pray for her and others like her. And so, are we pleasing the Lord? Are we honoring Him? Are we taking care of God's temple? Are we watching what we eat? My sister back here, she gets mad when I talk about her, but young back here, she told my wife yesterday, she said, hey, apples are good for you. Make sure you eat an apple every day. So when I came home yesterday, she said, here, we both need to eat an apple. So now I'm eating an apple. Try to eat more healthy stuff. Try to exercise a little bit. You say, I can't do much, Pastor. You may not be able to do much, but you can do a little more than you did yesterday. Walk around your house three times, or around your living room four times, or, you know, I don't recommend this. They got that thing on TV where you push your feet, you know, on that thing, little machine there, and you can sit there and eat your popcorn, drinking your Coke, and you're doing this, you know. I don't think that qualifies for exercise. It may for some. And maybe that's the best you can do. But, yeah, it may. Try to get your heart rate up a little bit somehow. It's good to sweat. I said it's good to sweat. Sweat a little bit every day. When you get out of the shower, take that towel and go, you know, go crazy. And just really scrub it. Scrub your arms and back. I'm just trying to help you. Hey, the right food, the right exercise helps you to rest well. Who was it working really hard the other day? Somebody the other day was just laboring. Oh, my. And they were telling me about it. I did this, I did that, and put in a hard day's work. And I told the brother, I said, you won't have any trouble sleeping tonight. And he said, you're absolutely right. We can all do better, can't we? I said, we can all do better. Taking care of this temple, preaching to myself, because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to use you in your vessel. Some things are out of our control, and I understand that with these physical bodies. But the message tonight, and I'm done, try to please God in all that you do. And not only with those outward things, but the character and the integrity that you have in your life. Remember your testimony to God and testimony to others in this church. Let's stand together.